Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I was telling our video audience a moment ago, and I'll say this to the radio and podcast audience right now. I cannot wait for this evening. Dog Nation Days of Summer kicks off. We're going to have so much fun with that. I'll tell you all about it over the course of our program and still remind you there's a chance for you to be with us if you can be. So we'll talk more about that coming up. We got some serious official business to take care of before we get there, though. Some interesting twists and turns in recruiting. Some of this involving some of the recent actions of recruits on social media and some of the experts' response to that. Let me kind of put all this together here for a moment. A position that we have not talked about a lot yet for the 2020 class is the wide receiver position. But there is a bit of movement when it comes to potentially Georgia, certainly one of the wide receiver targets of note for the Bulldogs. That's the four-star from St. Thomas Aquinas High School, Marcus Roseme. Roseme recently put out on Twitter that he's getting ready to make his final decision. Commitment coming soon, Roseme said. And one of the things that I think a lot of Georgia fans have really loved thus far about the 2020 class of the Bulldogs is how open these guys have been in pushing other guys to join them in this class. It is in so many ways a throwback to that 2017 class, the class that started it all. And that's one of the reasons why I think a lot of Georgia fans have, frankly, an emotional connection to this year on the field, because this could be the last go-around for some of those guys. It could be the last go-around for Fromm. It could be the last go-around for Andrew Thomas, DeAndre Swift. Some of those guys who made their pledge to Georgia coming off a year in 2016 where the Dogs had not been that great. It was difficult from afar to tell that Georgia had any program momentum, but the 2017 class came together in a big way and they pushed each other. You know, Fromm pushed for recruits, LeCount pushed for recruits, and it kind of all came together. They go to the college football playoff, and then, you know, the rest is sort of history after that, and a lot of folks are excited about what that group's going to be able to do in 2019 as well. But back to the topic at hand, the 2020 class in some ways has kind of felt similar to that, with guys who are in the fold, commits for the class of 2020, now pushing other guys to join them. Mikhail Sherman, the linebacker position, has been an example of this, but there's really probably no position that carries more weight in these kinds of things. There's probably no one who has bigger impact than when he steps up and recruits on behalf of a program than when it is a quarterback. You want to see your quarterback become a vocal leader for your program. And if your quarterback can't do that, then you got some real questions. If your quarterback doesn't have those kind of coattails in the recruiting trail, then you're probably left wondering, well, what's really going on here? Is my quarterback as much of a leader as I want him to be? Well, the good news is when it comes to Georgia and its 2020 class, those kinds of questions about Carson Beck seem to be non-existent. You got no problem whatsoever with Beck apparently stepping up and being the kind of recruiter you want him to be, because much the same way that Sherman is typically pretty active on social media pushing folks to UGA, Carson Beck kind of the same thing. I love this tweet from him upon seeing the announcement from Roseme, or at least the tease of the announcement from Roseme. Beck says, "Hey, hashtag Dog Nation, show my man some love. We need him in Athens." And boy, Georgia fans agree with that. Roseme's a guy that you really like, and Georgia fans probably also agree with the idea that it's really great to see in such a public forum Carson Beck pushing him there that way. Now, there's also a chance that some of our audience is now just getting acquainted with Roseme a bit. After all, on this show, we focused in on some other positions a lot more lately than we have the wide receiver position. At the moment, Georgia seems to be pretty deep. Georgia did a big yeoman's levels of work in the 2019 class, bringing in a couple receivers that I'm really excited about. So for the 2020 class, maybe it doesn't stand out as quite as big a need, yet you want to add quality players at every position group each recruiting cycle, and certainly Roseme would seem to be one of those, and there's a reason why Carson Beck is pushing as hard for me as he is, and it goes beyond just the fact that both these young men hail from the state of Florida. In fact, on yesterday's episode of Before the Hedges presented by Kroger, I thought that Jeff Sintel really offered a pretty enticing description of Roseme, and if you're a UGA fan, maybe just getting acquainted with this young man, well, Jeff gives you a pretty strong introduction. Here's Mr. Sintel.
I know sometimes people like to hear about the ratings. Well, folks don't realize how close Marcus Roseme out of St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale is to being a five-star. He's the nation's number six receiver, a type of body that will remind folks of J.J. Holloman, Jeremiah Holloman, one of those ideal replacement type prospect targets that could kind of fill a vacating role for the program.
So that's Jeff Sintel talking about Marcus Roseme there. At the end, what Jeff is referencing is with the you know, the Mecole Hardmans, the Riley Ridleys, the Terry Godwins leaving the program. You're obviously looking to fill those spots in this 2020 class, and Jeff says that he thinks that Marcus Roseme could be one of those guys, and the fact that Jeff also says that he's on the way to potentially being a five-star recruit himself is another reason why Georgia fans are going to be very excited about what is going on there. Now, I'm going to do more on Roseme in just a moment, but Connor Riley, our buddy, one of our producers, was good enough to tell me that as we talk here live in the 10 o'clock hour doing the show live, Georgia just got a little bit of breaking news. It gets a commitment from a 2020 kicker named Jared Zirkel. Zirkel is out of Texas, so that's a pretty big deal for Georgia. I'm obviously not an expert when it comes to kicker recruits. I'm assuming he's good if Georgia's taking his commitment. And obviously the future of Georgia at the place-kicking position beyond Rodrigo Blankenship this year is a major question to answer. Georgia has been rock solid at this spot in 2017 and 2018 and presumably here in 2019 as well. But moving beyond that, you want that same competition to take place that allowed Georgia to find Rodrigo Blankenship the first time around. And there is a chance that Jake Camarda becomes a part of that competition in kind of a dual role, maybe a kicker and a punter, or maybe becomes the kicker and not the punter. He's a part of that. Georgia's obviously recently taken a preferred walk-on out of Savannah. So they are trying to fill their coffers to have as deep a competition beyond Rodrigo Blankenship as they can. And I guess the next name to add into this discussion, and maybe even the most significant name to add, is Jared Zirkel coming out of the state of Texas. That is a commit for the Georgia Bulldogs here. So we will acknowledge that and likely have more on this maybe a little later on in the program. Maybe, Connor, you want to do a little research on Zirkel and then come on a little bit later on and talk to us about that? Why don't we do that? Let's put a pin on this for now. We'll let Connor do his due diligence on Jared Zirkel, and he'll hop on the program a little later on, and he can tell us a little bit about exactly what Georgia is getting when it comes to Zirkel. So with that said, let me get back to the topic we were discussing before, Marcus Roseme getting ready to make his commitment decision. Apparently, Carson Beck pushing for him. However, there is a potential monkey wrench in this situation, at least on the surface level, because the announcement of an upcoming commitment is not the only announcement that Roseme has recently made. He has also let us know on social media this week that he plans on taking an official visit to Florida this upcoming weekend. Now, my assumption is if you announce that your commitment is coming before you take the official visit to Florida, that may not be a great sign for the Gators. That's my assumption on all this. I am no expert. I'm just a fan who follows this stuff closely, but that is my assumption. That's maybe not great news for the Gators that Roseme's taking the official visit after he's essentially already made his plans to make his commitment announcement. And what bolsters my belief on this is something that an Ohio State recruiting reporter, Jeremy Birmingham, also recently said on Dog Nation Daily. It sounds like Mr. Birmingham, who knows the situation in Columbus pretty well, another one of those schools seemingly in the mix for Roseme, it sounds like Mr. Birmingham is no big believer in the Gators when it comes to this recruitment. Here's what he recently said.
Now, Florida's in the discussion because they're in Florida. From everything I've heard for months on Marcus Roseme, this is a two-team race between Ohio State and Georgia. Georgia has the advantage right now because he's been to Georgia. He's never been to Ohio State. The Buckeyes have tried over and over in the last year to get him up for a visit, but family situation down there isn't always great, and his money is tight, so he hasn't been able to make an unofficial trip. But if he doesn't make that visit in June unofficially, I don't think that there's any real shot down the road for him to end up in the Buckeyes class, and I think that would push him to Georgia.
So Jeremy says don't really count Florida into this all that much. This is simply just an in-state situation. So he seems to discount the visit that Roseme's going to take to Florida this weekend. Jeremy, who knows the situation in Ohio State pretty well, also seemingly discounts the Ohio State Buckeyes' role in all of this. So do with that what you will. Maybe Georgia's the only seeming finalist left standing here. One way or another, this is a recruitment worth watching. Roseme is a very good-looking player, and it's great to see Carson Beck involved in all of this. I think this is going to be a fun storyline to watch in the future, and the Dogs could be on the verge of maybe getting themselves a pretty impressive wide receiver commit for this 2020 class. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video today, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon, of course, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available as a podcast, the Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player, the world famous DogNation.com. Just really glad to have you with us today, and y'all, I am telling you right now, I am as excited as I can be about tonight, this evening, really all day long. Dog Nation Days of Summer, the kickoff event for us is today at Callaway Resort and Garden. So a lot of you have been asking, is there still an opportunity to come? Can I still be there? Can I still be a part of this? And the answer is yes, you absolutely can. There are still rooms available. So if you're in a last-minute situation where you say, hey, listen, I can get off of work. I can make my way down there. It's only just a short drive from Atlanta. It's like 80 miles or something like that. It's not far from the Atlanta area at all or kind of wherever you are. I'm always amazed at how quickly we can get down there. So, pop over to West Georgia and see us there at Callaway Resort and Gardens. Get your room, stay overnight, hang out with us. I'm guessing if you wanted to play golf tomorrow, we might squeeze you in, find some room for you there as well. You have to reach out to our folks on that to be sure. But if you're in the West Georgia area and you don't need, like, accommodations, you don't need to stay overnight, you just want to come be a part of the event, that's all fine, too. This is just going to be a really good time as Dog Nation kind of gets out of our typical hub here in the Atlanta area and gets out in the state of Georgia and really enjoy some time with many of you. Let me give you kind of a rundown of kind of how things are going to go today. And there's one specific thing from a logistics standpoint I want to make you aware of. First of all, for those of you who are planning to stay tonight, today, the day you check in, you get a chance to get garden admission included with your room stay. So you can get into the garden starting at 9 o'clock this morning. Then Kaysen's Tap Room opens this afternoon at 2 p.m. That's the place we're going to have the Dog Nation Days of Summer event. You can get settled in there early. You can order yourself a beverage, order yourself some food, and then you can have a nice seat or just hang out and do whatever you want to. You can leave, come back. Kaysen's just a really cool place to be. And, of course, for those of you staying overnight, the lodge check-in for that will start at 4 p.m. here today, so you can get settled in. We may have a couple Dog Nation gifts for you for those of you who are staying over, so you'll get the chance to enjoy some of that kind of stuff. And for those of you who are a part of our VIP reception, either because you got one of our limited tickets or you were able to get your room secured, that's going to begin this evening at 5 p.m. And, y'all, that's going to be just a really fun, casual, laid-back atmosphere. Just a absolute blast. And then, of course, the official event itself, 6 p.m. tonight, Dog Nation Days of Summer. Tomorrow we'll do Dog Nation Daily Live from there. We'd love to have you come over and see us do that program at 10 a.m. We'll do golf, as I said, starting at noon. Jeff Sintel is going to be there. Our buddy John Stinchholm, the great former Georgia All-American, he's going to be a part of this. There is one logistical thing I want to make you aware of, though. If you're coming over today, be careful at what you put your GPS. If you're like me, you can't get anywhere without that GPS. Be careful what you put in. Don't put in Callaway Gardens. That'll send you to a slightly different place. Put in the lodge at Callaway Resort and Gardens. Can I see that graphic on the screen for our video audience one more time? Look up there at the right side of your screen for those of you who are watching right now. Podcast, radio, I'll explain this to you in a different way. Put in the lodge at Callaway Resort and Gardens for your GPS, or put in this address. I'll give it to you a couple times. 4500 Southern Pine Drive in Pine Mountain, Georgia. Once again, 4500 Southern Pine Drive in Pine Mountain, Georgia. That's the address to put in your GPS. We'll have some Dog Nation signage for you. You can kind of drive right there to it. If you've got some last minute questions, go to dognationhelp@gmail.com as an email address. You can kind of hop in there and get some of that. But I cannot wait to see you tonight for Dog Nation Days of Summer. Now, speaking of John Stinchcomb, he's going to be with us on the program as kind of a preview of tonight and also a chance to talk some Georgia football with him. I never turn that down with a chance at John Stinchcomb, so we'll do that coming up in a moment. Before that, let's go around the doghouse here today, presented by our friends at Online Trading Academy. I want to keep the theme of recruiting going here for a moment, too, because another big announcement about another official visit to Georgia, and these twists and turns in the 2020 class, they start to take shape. Andrew Rame, the really good-looking offensive line prospect from out of Oklahoma, on Twitter, he let us know that he's got a visit coming up to the University of Georgia. In fact, here is what Rame kind of put out there on that as far as his visit goes. And I think when it comes to Rame, you know, as Georgia fans see the success the Dogs have enjoyed, there you go. He's going to be at Georgia this weekend, starting on the 14th, going through the 16th, and then Michigan coming up after that. But when you think about Rame and how he fits into the discussion of Tate Ratledge and Josh Braun and kind of everything else that Georgia has done in the offensive line recruiting as of late, and you think about what could still be out there as well, a guy like Cedric Von Prahn from New Orleans as well. You know, Jeff Sintel is not like me. Jeff Sintel, our Dog Nation recruiting insider, is not quite as given to hyperbole as I am. I'm a bit of a, and I joke about this from time to time, I'm a bit of a carnival barker by nature. I sort of just have a hype gene buried within me. Jeff is not necessarily like that, but once again on yesterday's episode of Before the Hedges presented by Kroger. When you think about Georgia possibly trending for rain, certainly in the mix for Von Prahn as one of his finalists, and the recent work this program has done in recruiting offensive linemen for the 2020 class, listen to what Jeff says. All of this could add up to equal. I found this to be fascinating.
With Rame and Van Prahn, if those guys do eventually matriculate to the University of Georgia, or either one of the two, you're going to look at what Georgia did in 2017 with Andrew Thomas and Isaiah Wilson, and then you've got Natori Johnson and Justin Schaefer. You're going to see the 2018 class, which included Salyer, Mays, Condon, Trey Hill, and Warren Erickson. In 2019, if Georgia finishes out with one or both of those guys, that is Sam Pittman's finest work for the Georgia Bulldogs.
I mean, can you believe Jeff Sintel on that? I think statistically he's probably accurate, but it's still a pretty bold statement to listen to. When you think about the great success of recruiting offensive linemen Georgia has had, Jeff says, no, add all these names up for the class of 2020. That may be your best, especially with what's still out there, the meat that's still on that bone. This may end up being Sam Pittman's finest work to date when it comes to recruiting offensive linemen. That's a pretty fun thing to think about. It's Around the Doghouse. It's presented by Online Trading Academy. As I tell you from time to time, we all want more money to kind of travel and do fun stuff during the summer. Everything else that money can buy, money's good for the things that it's good for, purchasing things for you and your family. Well, the way to get more money is obviously learn how to leverage the markets to your benefit. And that means investing. And the best investment you can make is the decision to invest in yourself, learning how markets work, whether it be, you know, the variety of trading styles that are out there or the spectrum of asset classes. Online Trading Academy gives you a chance to do just that. And their learning opportunities are both in the classroom and online. So there's kind of a system of learning that's going to suit you no matter what your schedule's like or how you learn best. Online Trading Academy is going to provide that for you. So please check them out online at tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. The website, once again, Trading Academy, that's with a D, tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. You can learn more about Online Trading Academy and what they can do for you. All right, we'll have Connor Riley on later on. He'll tell us more about the kicker commit that Georgia just got. We're excited about Dog Nation Days of Summer tonight, though. One of the guys that's going to be with us is the great former Georgia All-American John Stinchcomb. He joins us here on Dog Nation Daily right now. And boy, I tell you this, I'm excited about having John with us this afternoon and this evening at Dog Nation Days of Summer at Callaway Resort and Gardens. I know so many of you are excited about hanging out and talking with him as well. John's just a good guy to talk football with. And a great ambassador of the University of Georgia. And it's a thrill once again to have him here today on Dog Nation Daily. John, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you being with us, and I hope you and your family are doing well.
It's always a pleasure, B.A., and I can't wait to hang out with you tonight. I got the car gassed up, got bikes on the back. I can't wait to be in Callaway talking some dog football and enjoying the festivities down at Callaway Gardens.
Boy, that's awesome to hear, John. I'm really glad to hear that. And one of the things that we were talking, before we get into what we're going to do this afternoon tonight, one of the things that we were talking about before you joined us was the continued level of success that Georgia seems to be having at the offensive line position. Georgia just got a really good-looking commit from Josh Braun this week. Obviously, you've seen guys like Tate Ratledge coming to the fold as of late as well, an in-state prospect from Rome. There are a couple more prospects that could be dangling out there as well. And I know you and I have talked about this before, but how much, as a great former offensive lineman yourself, how much of a sense of pride does it fill you with to know that the nucleus of what makes Georgia a national championship contender right now is its quality offensive line, and seemingly that's going to be true for many years to come? As an offensive lineman, how much do you like the presence of these offensive linemen at your alma mater?
I love it. I mean, I think if you're a Georgia fan in general, you've got to be excited about the Hogs up front. I mean, the University of Georgia, Athens, we've never seen that much talent in one position group room as what we'll see currently or in years to come. I think what Coach Smart and Coach Pittman have been able to put together and continue to build, it's second to none. When my old glory days, back when we used to wear leather helmets, I played with a couple guys from Auburn, and they were listing all the players that they produced, and it kind of makes you gag a little bit. You know, you're sick to your stomach. You don't want Auburn to be able to hang their hat on just about anything. And they were able to list some guys. You know, it was Wayne Gandy and Victor Riley and Willie Anderson. I mean, they were putting out some studs. And I think you're entering into an era for the University of Georgia where it's going to become OLU. Just because of the amount of talent that they have. I mean, quite honestly, our second string is probably better than some of the first string groups that we've put out in years past. And it's not because of what we were lacking years ago. It's because of what we have now. And, man, that's exciting for me. I'm a, you know, I always focus on that line group, and the talent that they're amassing is pretty special.
So along those lines, and I think that's really well said, you talk about the sense of pride that an alumnus has when other linemen go on to the NFL, and I see kind of a similar connection with some of these guys, with some of the other guys they also hope to see them join them as a part of this 2020 class. For instance, a lot of these offensive linemen are reaching out to running backs and say, hey, look at this great wall we're building. Look at this offensive line you can run behind if you come to this school. How much of a connection do you remember having with your skill position guys? You obviously play with some really good ones at Georgia, play with some quality guys in the NFL in that regard there as well. It seems like these offensive linemen take a real sense of pride in being able to say, not only are we going to attract other great offensive linemen, but we're going to use the success that Sam Pittman's group has had to also leverage these running backs and become the place that running backs want to keep coming to as well. You know, as a former offensive lineman, would you mind also talking a little bit about the connection that these guys seem to get with those skill position guys as well?
Well, you run into the same group of guys at the official visits. They kind of track the big games and the bigger schools, and you see the same faces. And now with social media the way it is and how interactive guys can be, man, that's huge. You build relationships with players across the country, and if you're a running back, you want to go where you can succeed, and having the hogs up front that can move folks, that makes a big difference, and it absolutely factors into recruiting with the relationships that are formed and the opportunities that you project, and quite honestly, the systems that you're looking to become a part of, and Georgia has proven throughout the years, and that continues under Coach Smart, that there's a bit of a run. If you're a quarterback, if you're a running back, if you're a tight end, you're going to have your opportunities to excel just because of what you can create with the front five. So, yes, it was interactive 20 years ago, and it's even more relationship-driven today, and you see it. I mean, I've seen some of the articles that, you know, Connor's written and everyone else about of the relationships, the running backs that are keeping an eye on Coach Pittman and his yes sirs as you get these studs coming on campus.
I do like that, John, for sure. And one of those offensive linemen, Josh Braun, who just came into the fold here recently, you know, as Jeff Sintel told us yesterday on Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger, that in addition to being a really high-quality football prospect, he's also a strong academic profile as well. And that's one of the things that you seem to see Kirby Smart pushing for right now. I kind of half-jokingly, half-kiddingly said that, you know, I like good players, but if I can find a good player who's also a smart, you know, student, you know, a good student, I think it makes him a better football player overall. We've seen, obviously, John, in the last, you know, decade, however long, the overall academic profile of the University of Georgia greatly increased, but it seems like over the last couple of years, we're also seeing the academic profile of the football program kind of growing in stature as well. As a guy who's a proud alumnus of the University of Georgia, what is your response to the way in which, you know, academics seemingly is a big part of the profile of a lot of these guys that Kirby Smart's going after as of late?
Well, I think it's huge. I think it's important to recognize that, you know, they're student athletes at the University of Georgia and not just football players. There's an opportunity for that, hopefully, down the road. It's called the NFL. But at the time, when you're putting together a locker room of guys, and you're talking about young men fresh out of high school, you need it to be high character. You can take your shots. You can take your chances on a couple of guys here and there, but you're creating a culture in that locker room, and it's more about character. And I think a good indicator of that at times is a commitment to being good people as a whole. And academics is a piece of that. That's not to say that they all have to come in with 4.0s. I don't think that's realistic. But if you're looking at the general makeup of a team, if you've got guys that are committed across the board and are able to be well-rounded, that plays to your advantage. They're going to be the influencing factors in that locker room for some of your marginal guys. And once that dynamic shifts a little bit, it's hard to regain that culture. And you can see a commitment from the coaching staff and the recruiting department at the University of Georgia that that's what they're gunning for. Are they going to take chances on a couple guys? Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, you're competing on a national level, and not everybody is as academically focused, if you will, as you'd want them to be. But if you've created a culture across that locker room where it's a priority, that will influence some of your marginal players that you want on your team.
Let me kind of finish up with this before we talk a little bit more about Dog Nation Days of Summer. This is a big weekend coming up for Georgia. They're hosting a real series of official visits for some top quality guys, including some of the offensive linemen we just kind of talked about there. There's also five-star running back Kendall Milton coming in. I know you've probably been asked about this a million times. How much of your own recruiting process do you remember? Where all did you officially visit? Obviously, you're a little bit different, the fact that you had a brother who had been at Georgia, so you knew that was a good program. You knew, and you're also an in-state guy, so you had the emotional pull there as it was. But what was your recruiting process like, John, for those who maybe don't remember that?
Well, who does really? It's so far. Those are dark days back there, DA. But it was, it's fun. It's fun to be a recruit. It's fun to be 16, 17, 18 years old, and you've got grown men who know the game telling you the difference that you can make in their program. So it's exciting to be on a campus across. I looked primarily in the Southeast, mainly SEC schools, but there are a couple of ACC that trickled in there, and see what's a good fit. You get a feel for the culture in a locker room, the campus, the classes that are offered, and just really an overall feel for the team. So as a recruit, it's exciting. You know, it's nice to feel wanted and coveted and feel like you might be able to walk in and help a program. Now, what you learn pretty quickly after you sign your letter of intent is that you automatically become the lowest on the totem pole, and some of the glowing stories of grandeur are going to be hard-earned. But that's part of the process. Let's live in those rose-colored glasses as long as you can.
Well, John, listen, I know I've heard from so many people who are planning on being with us this afternoon and tonight who are so excited about having you be a part of this. Great football stories, a lot of chatter. Of course, Jeff Sintel going to be there and be a part of this too. It is going to be a real blast for me. My whole family's excited about this, just kind of kicking back, relaxing, talking a little football, enjoying really what's going to be a beautiful weather over the next couple of days, and just a great resort there at Callaway Resort and Gardens. John, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being there with us, and I know so much of our audience around Dog Nation is looking forward to being with you tonight.
It's going to be fun. I can't wait to interact with some of the dogs on the west side of the state and those that are willing to drive over there. And you know, it sounds really arduous to spend some time in Callaway Gardens, as beautiful a resort as it is. So I'm sure people are willing to rough it with us for at least a couple of hours, right?
Yeah, John, I think that's probably a pretty good way to say all that. Thank you so much, and I'll see you here in a little bit. Safe travels to you over to Pine Mountain today.
Can't wait. See you tonight.
Great stuff there from John Stinchcomb. Love talking football with him, and he's the kind of guy that you get him in an environment like this evening at Kaysen's Tap Room there at Callaway Resort and Gardens. He's just going to, you know, he'll tell you some of his stories. He'll look back and reflect on that. And for those of us who are Georgia fans, and for my entire life, that's what I've been, I don't think there's anything that makes me feel better. There's nothing I enjoy more than seeing someone like John, who is many years removed from his time at the University of Georgia. And John was, and for our listeners who are Falcons fans, they probably don't like hearing this, but John was a beloved saint, right? I mean, John had a pretty strong connection to the city of New Orleans. I mean, he could have made his home in Louisiana upon finishing his NFL career, and nobody would have thought anything about that, because that's what a lot of guys choose to do. But John is a Georgia guy, man. Not just the University of Georgia, but the state of Georgia. And he still has massive, massive affection for UGA. Every win, every loss, you know, he lives it. He breathes it. Every great moment love that program. He's just in on it, and that's just really awesome to see. And John's going to be a big part of Callaway Resort and Gardens tonight, and I personally cannot wait for that. All right, for those of you who are just joining us, a little earlier we got some interesting news. Georgia got a kicker prospect for the class of 2020. It is look at that. Oh, my gosh. For those of you watching on video, this is maybe the finest moment in Dog Nation Daily history. Now, I don't know if the podcast, the radio audience cares about this one way or another, but totally unplanned. We had no idea this was going to happen. Georgia gets a kicker commit, and we are now watching video of this young man just boom into the end zone over and over again as a part of our video right now. I have never been more impressed with this than I am to see Jared Zirkel on the screen. Let me also get my buddy Connor Riley here just for a moment. As I said before, I won't pretend to be an expert when it comes to kicker commits, but Georgia does get one here with Zirkel. Connor, what can you tell us about what Jared Zirkel brings to the table and kind of how he fits into the situation for the University of Georgia?
Well, so Jeff Sintel's published a story. It's up on dognation.com. I think the first thing that we should point out here is that it is a scholarship kicker offer. This is not a walk-on kicker. The next thing to sort of note here, and we've got a full screen here from Cole's Kicking Camp, one of the various kicking sites. Zirkel is a Division I kicker who attended a Cole's Kicking training camp and private lesson in the spring of 2019. He was a Cole's Kicking Camp Player of the Week for, get this, BA, hitting a 59-yard field goal in a high school game.
Wow.
He is someone whose talent is obvious and may end up being a top-five kicker in the 2020 class. Zirkel has, quote-unquote, huge upside. I think the other big thing to recognize here from reading Jeff's article, he won the recent place kicking contest at the Georgia Specialist Camp a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And as good as he is as a field goal kicker, he is someone who 90% of his kickoffs go for touchbacks. And actually, one of the things that Rodrigo Blankenship does better than anyone, and arguably even better than his kickoff or than his field goal attempts, is actually his kickoffs. He was third in the country last year in touchback percentage. And that is a big thing for Georgia, given that there were times last year when it was a little shaky on Georgia's kickoff coverage. So when you have a kicker who can consistently boom it into the end zone and get you touchbacks, that does wonders for your field position.
So are we then to take this as he likely earned himself a scholarship at a camp not too long ago? The essential prize for winning the place kicking competition was a committable offer to Georgia. Should we probably take it as that?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, I said, should we probably take this as he probably won himself a scholarship offer by performing at that camp not too long ago?
Yes, that's how I would interpret that.
Yeah, I think this is really interesting. Connor, good stuff, and thanks so much for being with us here as a part of the program. Really good research by you to learn more about Zirkel here and surfacing the Coles report there, and then for the video audience getting a chance to see him do that. I think the point that Connor brings up is a really good one, that in this day and age, touchbacks are incredibly important. Now, the rules have obviously changed to kind of, you know, take the kickoff return out of the sport a little bit. And yet, if you look, and I've said this a million times, if you look at the difference between Georgia in 2016 and 2017, it was the rise of the special teams that tell the story as much as anything for why Georgia goes from being an 8-win team in 2016 to a college football playoff team in 2017. The improvement of those special teams. Rodrigo Blankenship obviously led the way with that. Now, one thing I'm not going to lie about, my preference would be, if at all possible, to bring in preferred walk-on kickers and have them earn their scholarship while on campus. I think that was the initial plan for Kirby Smart. When you want to go back to early recruiting classes, Marshall Long, the punter, got the scholarship. The place kicker had to earn his way there. That was the initial plan for Kirby Smart. It may just, in this day and age, though, be difficult to actually do that. You may, if you want to get a quality kicker, you may have to give him that scholarship offer. So that's what George is going to do here, and my presumption is Zirkel must be a good one if he gets that. Things have changed, obviously. Rodrigo Blankenship did have to perform well, make some big kicks, be the established kicker before he got his scholarship. The next generation of Georgia kicker, at least one of the guys that will be a part of that competition, apparently won't have to do that, and so we shall see where this goes. But the same way that Kirby Smart scours every corner of the globe for every position, place kicking apparently going to be no different. And average starting field position, which is one of the most predictive stats for winning in all of college football, with a big boomer like this in your kickoffs, Georgia could be in good shape in the future. So the Dogs get themselves a commit. It is Jared Zirkle, a kicker for the class of 2020, as Jeff Sintel's reporting at DogNation.com. He will be on scholarship, and we will see where all of this goes from here. Yeah, there's the tweet there for the video making his announcement, going from Kerrville, Texas to Athens, Georgia. I'd love to announce my commitment to the University of Georgia. Really good stuff from Jared Zirkle. Great, great work by Connor Riley for getting all of this here on Dog Nation Daily here today.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
And if you want to talk about the kicker yourself, we can do that in the comment section here coming up in just a moment. We may get more from Connor on this a little bit too. And obviously as part of our R.S. Andrews cooldown later on, we'll do all that as well. Before we do our SEC Through, let me also remind you about, you know, one of the things that from time to time we like to do is make you aware of offers and availabilities that the rest of the public may not know about yet. And I think we're going to just about sell all these out here. So get involved and get on this if you haven't. I'm talking about those officially licensed, personalized, and autographed UGA cornhole boards by the great former Georgia running back Nick Chubb. There are only 100 of these available, and I'm hearing all the time about more of these flying off the shelves. So at this point in time, there can't be a lot of these left. So you got to get in and go now if you want to get yours, whether it be for that special gift or you're just a collector. You want to make sure you get involved with this. The website to go to is westgeorgiacornhole.com/Nick Chubb. The way this works is your order is going to come in. They're going to see all the people who have ordered them. And then after that, Chubb's going to personalize and sign one of the boards for this set. That's the way this is going to go down. Now, for what it's worth, we're also giving away one of these sets that will be autographed and personalized by Chubb tonight at a Dog Nation Days of Summer. So that's coming up. But if you're not the winner of that, you can still, for a limited time, get in and get your set from westgeorgiacornhole.com/Nick Chubb. But you need to go right now because this is not me just, you know, puffery and hyping it up. We are literally selling these things like crazy. So get these before they're gone. And plus, we're actually coming up on the time where Chubb's about to start signing these. So to get yours personalized, you want to move through and do this pretty fast. It's a great gift. It's a must-have collector's item. It's the kind of thing you can't really get anywhere else. So westgeorgiacornhole.com/Nick Chubb. For a whole lot more on that. All right, for our SEC Through, I want to talk just for a moment about something that Sports Illustrated recently did, highlighting the 117 players that can win the Heisman Trophy this season. Now, 117 may seem like kind of a lot. Here's the one thing I would remind you of, though, that when it comes to the Heisman Trophy, in a lot of cases, especially a few years ago especially, we had guys kind of come out of nowhere to become, you know, guys in the discussion for this award. We had a long stretch of time where really young quarterbacks were major in the discussion on this. Think about Johnny Manziel. Think about Jameis Winston. You know, this is not necessarily an award for the senior who's hung around for 4 years. You do have guys kind of off the radar that sort of step into this discussion from year to year. So from that standpoint, 117 might not be too many when it comes to this. And what Sports Illustrated does is they kind of put their 117 guys into various groups. You'll be interested to know that Jake Fromm is in the top of the top groups, the elite quarterbacks and elite teams, along with Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence, and Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma. I've made my case on this before. There's at least one of those guys I believe you can subtract off of that. I don't believe it's going to be a big year for Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma. If you look at his stats when throwing the football, I mean on actual passes down the field, he just doesn't fit in very well with the typical Oklahoma quarterback. I believe there's a chance, and I think it's actually going to happen, that Hurts loses his job as Oklahoma starter before the season's done. So subtract him off that list of elite quarterbacks on elite teams. And then it comes down to the same comparison we've made virtually all offseason. How does Jake Fromm compare to Tua Tagovailoa and Trevor Lawrence? Well, as I said on this program earlier this week, I think ultimately the weapon that Fromm has at his disposal that he needs to use is his experience. Now, I just told you before, when it comes to being a top-flight Heisman-level quarterback or a national championship-leading quarterback, experience hasn't always mattered. But it doesn't mean that it can't matter, and it doesn't mean that it shouldn't matter for Fromm this year. I think third year in the program, more comfortable the offense, I think that makes him even better. And if you're looking for that hope, that opportunity for Fromm to surpass the two guys that are mentioned ahead of him typically, Tua Tagovailoa and Trevor Lawrence, think about experience being the way that could possibly happen. Other quarterbacks get mentioned from SI, and then you finally get into some more of that discussion there as well. You finally get down to the running back situation. That's where DeAndre Swift gets mentioned alongside a Najee Harris from Alabama, a Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, a Travis Etienne from Clemson. And really, Bob, you know, they have a bunch of running backs mentioned. But beyond that, I can't see the Heisman Trophy coming from any other group other than those running backs. I'll give Harris the nod at Alabama. But, you know, when it comes to the comparison between DeAndre Swift and Najee Harris, I've already seen a lot more from Swift I like than Harris. Not to say that Harris is not a really good running back, but I'm probably more skeptical than some are when it comes to Najee Harris. Jonathan Taylor is obviously going to be the guy that has better Heisman odds on all the gambling websites than Swift. Taylor will have huge stats. Is it fair to say, though, I believe it probably is, that Swift may be a more spectacular player than Taylor is? Taylor may have the better overall stats, but it could be that the better overall collection of highlights belongs to DeAndre Swift on that. And then it comes an interesting comparison with a guy like, say, Travis Etienne at Clemson, who's in a really similar situation to Swift at Georgia in that he's going to be a back, getting a lot of carries and high-profile games, games that are viewed on a national television. So I think that could be something worth watching. I guess to wrap up my entire discussion on this and the SEC through, it's really a replication of what I've said in the past, that for the most part, I believe that the Heisman Trophy has become a quarterback's award, with apologies to Derrick Henry, who really won it as recently as 2015 as a running back. For the most part, because of the eye-popping stats that quarterbacks have been putting up, this is kind of a quarterback's award. However, if there's still an opportunity for a running back to win it, I think a school like Georgia is as likely to produce that as anyone is, and probably more likely than most of their programs, because part of the recipe for Georgia's potential success is being known as big offensive line, running back you type stuff. And that just gives a little extra hype to the Georgia running back. He is, after all, not just following the footsteps of Herschel Walker, but recent successes for guys like Nick Chubb and Sony Michel. That matters to the media, and the media influences the discussion as much as any entity possibly could. And so I think that DeAndre Swift is likely a little more of a Heisman contender than the typical running back would be. But the better overall situation for Georgia is for Jake Fromm to become a Heisman-level quarterback. We already know the Georgia running game is going to be good. If Fromm's stature grows to the point that he is truly being mentioned as a Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence-level player, then Georgia has indeed added the extra dimension that it needs, and it is no doubt a legitimate national championship contender all the way through the end of the season. We'll make that your SEC through. And I'll give Connor Ollie a chance to pop back on here as a part of our podcast and radio show and video show if he wants to as well. Anything else other on Jared Zirkle that we need to know, the kicker commit that Georgia just picked up? I thought your point from earlier was an important one. He will be on scholarship. As the video we played showed, he is obviously very impressive when it comes to putting the ball in the end zone on touchbacks. Jeff Sintel's done some reporting on this as well. Anything else about Zirkle you feel like we need to know?
Yeah, he does punt for his high school team as well. 18 of his 44 punts last year went for touchbacks. That's roughly about a 40% rate. That's pretty good. One other sort of interesting factoid, you were just talking about Heisman Trophy winners. Zirkle's from the same hometown and goes to the same high school that one Johnny Manziel went to as well. Sort of
is
just
that
an
right?
Interesting little factoid there. Kerrville, Texas, Tivy High School, the home of John Football, and now Georgia's newest kicker commit, Jared Zirkle.
Let me ask you two questions. One of these is absurd. One of these is more serious. Do you think that Zirkle will be last on the list of all-time Georgia lettermen alphabetically? Is there anyone that alphabetically will come after Zirkle once his Georgia career is done?
Off the top of my head, I can't think in my lifetime of any guys who had the last name with a Z.
Yeah, y'all work on that for those of you who are listening. Hit me up on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily if you're a radio or podcast. Is Zirkle now going to be alphabetically last among UGA lettermen? I'd love to hear that. And on a more serious point, I'm happy anytime a young man gets a scholarship, but I do have to admit that my preference has always been for preferred walk-on kickers who then earn their scholarship. And I'll tell you the number one reason why I feel that way. It's due to the fact that I think that kicking in a triple-decker stadium, you know, one that Georgia plays in, these big stadiums, is just a far different experience than kicking in high school, even high-level Texas football, which Zirkle apparently plays in because Connor said he went to Manziel School. I just think that kicking in the college level is a totally, totally different situation. I think pressure changes performances. Do you agree with that? Whether you think that kickers should or shouldn't get scholarships on their way into campus, do you agree with the fact that kicker, maybe more so than any other position, is the kind of thing we don't really know about until we see how a guy performs in a pressure situation? Because it's hard to stand there and wait for that ball to be snapped and kick that thing when you got 90,000 people watching the stadium and, you know, 10 million people watching on television. I think pressure changes performances for kickers. Do you agree?
I think there's a lot of validity in that statement, in the sense that, you know, you even look at Rodrigo Blankenship. He was a highly touted kicker prospect coming out. I believe he was a high school All-American at the position from Sperryberry High School. He was a walk-on. I believe he redshirted his first year at Georgia.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, early on, you know, he was still good, but, you know, I don't necessarily know if he was scholarship worthy good that first year. Obviously, he improved and eventually got that scholarship towards the end of his redshirt freshman year. And actually, I believe he got it after the Notre Dame game. That's when they officially announced it.
Yeah, you're right.
And I, you know, there is just something different to your point about looking up in a big stadium. And you, I mean, we've seen guys at all levels. We've seen guys at the NFL level where, you know, they just get to that stage and just sort of, you know, because of the nerves that come with playing that position, just sort of, you know, melt down. And you don't want to be stuck in a position where you're carrying the scholarship, especially in a class where we know scholarships are going to be tight. You know, Georgia's not going to be able to sign a class of certainly 25, and it might even be closer to 22, 21 guys in the class. So this is a calculated move taken by Smart here. He obviously feels very comfortable with the kind of kicker that Zirkle is, given how well he played. And you know, those kicking camps are intense. You know, I mean, by all intents, I mean, whoever won that kicking specialist competition likely was going to get a scholarship offer from Georgia. And that's, you know, to be a scholarship player at a university like that, it's a great honor to have, and something that can really, you know, help you pursue your education and really change your life. So, you know, in that aspect, he has handled some pressure well before, but you never know when, you know, you're going to be in the Rose Bowl and need to hit a 54-yard field goal to get your team within two scores going into halftime, or, you know, kick a field goal in overtime from 50-plus yards to give your team the lead, you know, which is something Blankenship has gone on to do. And, you know, Blankenship wasn't a scholarship guy to start right away. And, you know, while it wasn't always the prettiest way was that Blankenship thing was handled publicly, I do think in the end, you know, Smart largely made the right decision.
Good stuff
there. The way it was handled.
Good stuff there from Connor Riley. So, yeah, I think that Connor's right about the Rose Bowl moment for Rodrigo Blankenship, because he is the perfect example of what's not going to happen for everybody. And it may very well happen for Zirkle, and it's great to see. But as you watch the way that the career of Rodrigo Blankenship has unfolded, where as he became more famous, seemingly Blankenship became even calmer and cooler. He accepted his level of fame. He accepted his role at the center of everything going on with Georgia football. He's become an incredible fan favorite, obviously, but he's a guy that hasn't shied away from the pressure of big-time kicks. And no kicker's going to be perfect, obviously, but you want your kicker to be able to step back out there on the field again and being able to go at it with the same intensity as before, with the confidence of knowing he can make the kick. Blankenship has flourished in that role, and obviously that's what Jared Zirkle's going to try to follow in the footsteps of. We're ready for Dog Nation Days of Summer tonight. Can't wait to see you there. And on a happy note, we'll finish with this. 957 days. That's how long it's been since Florida's beaten Georgia. Gatorator Updater. We'll see you tomorrow from Callaway Resort and Gardens for Dog Nation Daily.